Today's shir is a schus for Shalom Abracha, who should have a full shleima. Today's shir is Masechta Ksuvis, Daf Mem Vav. We will begin on Daf Mem Vav of an Aleph, 8 lines from the top, Tana Rabbanan. The Torah speaks about the parasha of Moitzi Shemra. What Moitzi Shemra means that someone comes and says that the girl that he married was not a psula, that she had an adulterous relationship while she was a nara marasa. He brings Adam to back up his claim, and then it turns out that everything was not true. And the Torah says that he has to pay a fine of Meir Kesef. The Torah says, furthermore, v'loy seal isha, she has to remain his wife, la'yuchal shalcha kol yomav. But the Torah uses the word v'ancho oisai, says the Braisa. V'ancho oisai teaches us that he has to pay zemomen. That's the 100 slime that I just referred to. V'yisru oisai, says the Gemara. What that means is that he gets malchus. Says the Gemara Bishlama, it's understood that when the pasuk says v'ancho oisai, momen, the ksiv, because the pasuk is very clear in saying v'ancho oisai, May kesef v'nosin lavianaru. So the Torah is explicit that is his punishment. But ask the Gemara, El v'yisru oisai zemalkus. Why do we say that v'yisru oisai means malchus? So the Shita asks a question. If we look in the pasuk says v'yisru oisai before v'anchu oisai. So ask the Shita, if the Braisa here is coming to teach us all the punishments that this man is going to get, shouldn't the Braisa have gone and mentioned it in the order that they get these punishments? And furthermore, what is the Braisa, asked the Shita, coming to teach us by saying that he gets punished the Meir Kesef? There is no question, points out the Shita, that he gets punished the Meir Kesef, because as we just learned, the Torah is very explicit what he has to pay to Meir Kesef. There may be some lack of clarity what V'yisru oisai means, as we're learning. But why would we think, what's the question about V'yisru oisai? So explains that the Braisa is coming to teach us that the V'yisru oisai is not only limited that he has to pay the Meir Kesef as a fine, V'loy seal isha, the halacha that we just mentioned, that he has to remain married to her, is also included, maybe I would think is included in the punishment. Says the Torah that the V'ancho oisai is strictly the mammon, V'yisru oisai is strictly the malchus. Because, explains the Shita, if we're going to learn that v'loy seal isha is actually part of his punishment, then how would we know, as we're about to learn, that he's going to get malchus? Maybe we would say that v'ancho oisai refers to the Meir Kesef, the yisru oisai refers to v'loy seal isha. Only after we know that v'ancho refers both to malchus, to the mammon and v'loy seal isha, the yisru oisai remains available to teach us that he has to get malchus also. The question that the Ramban asks, that why is the halacha that you have to pay Meir Kesef? And to understand the Ramban's question, we have been learning the halachas of Oinus and Mafatim. And by Oinus Mafatim, the halacha is that he pays Chamishim Kesef. Why over here did the Torah double it to Meir Kesef? So the Ramban explains, because when somebody spreads this lie about this girl, what he's actually doing is robbing her of her dignity. And we know that the amount that you have to pay whenever you steal is kefil, double. So since he did something which was like a geneva, he has to pay the kefil double of the 50, because the standard ksuba, as we've learned previously, is 50 kesef. So the Gemara asked for Yisroel Yisrael Malkus Menolon. So the Achroinim explain what is the basis of the question, because they say typically when the Torah uses the word V'Yisroel Oisai, it actually refers to speaking, to telling the person that you did something wrong. And our Gemara, all of a sudden V'Yisroel Oisai is defined with that he has to get Malkus. So ask the Gemara, from where do we take that V'Yisroel means Malkus? Says the Gemara, Amar Avua, Lamanu Yisru. The Torah uses this word Yisru here in this parasha on Motzi Shemra, and the Torah uses the word the Yisru by Ben Sayre Meirah, as the pasuk says regarding the Ben Sayre Meirah. He's an individual who's Eina Shemeya b'kol aviv b'kol imay, and the pasuk says the Yisru Yisavli Yishmaelam, and when the Torah says the Yisru by the Ben Sayre Meirah, we learn from the word Ben, which is mentioned in that parasha, as the parasha Ben Sayre Meirah begins with the words Kiel Ish Ben Sayre Meirah. Well, Ben, we learn from the word Ben that it says Vahaya Ben Hakas Harasha, and there by the parasha Ben Hakas Harasha, that says the word. There the Torah says that Yechayiv Malkus. So that's how we know that the Motzi Shemra is Chayiv Malkus. But ask the Gemara, as Harol Motzi Shemra Menolan, we know there's a rule throughout the Torah. The halacha is that Ein Onshim Elam Kemas Hirin. So yes, the word V'Yisru, as we're learning now, comes to teach us that the Motzi Shemra is Chayiv an Einish, as we learned, the Malkus. But the Gemara asks that there's a rule that we also have to have an ashara. The Torah has to teach us that this, what he did is wrong. And therefore, the Gemara is trying to find the source for the Avera of Motzi Shemra. Ask the Gemara, ashara la Motzi Shemra menolan. Answers the Gemara, Belozo Omer. The Torah says, Leiselech Rachel. Reb Nosson Omer, we learn it from the words, V'nishmarta Mikol Davaral. So the Pnei Yeshua says that asks, doesn't the pasuk of Leiselech Rachel speak about anybody who speaks about Lashon Hara? So why are we singling it out to a Motzi Shemra? So he says that since we already have a basis to tell us, as we just learned, that a Motzi Shemra is Chayiv Malkus, so we see that the Motzi Shemra is the highest level of Lashon Hara. And that's why we apply the Leiselech Rachel to someone who is a Motzi Shemra. Moreover, the Rabbeinu Yonah learns that Motzi Shemra, since it's all built on a lie, is much worse of a level of Lashon Hara than something which is not a lie. And that's why the Gemara chooses to say Leiselech Rachel about the Motzi Shemra. But the Achrayim ask, Leiselech Rachel is not what a Motzi Shemra is. A Leiselech Rachel is a person who goes from one home to another home and reveals things about other people. So how are we saying, ask the Achrayim, that the pasuk of Leiselech Rachel should be applied to Motzi Shemra? Says, so I saw the Achrayim answer, what would cause a person to go from one home to another home and say bad things about people? So he explains, certainly what causes that is sinna. Certainly that causes hatred. And again, when we speak about the Motzi Shemra, he explains, what would cause a person to be Motzi Shemra, which is a whole new level, because not only is he speaking bad about someone else, his wife, actually, but he's saying something which is totally not true. It's also based on hatred. And therefore, it makes sense to say that the pasuk of Leiselech Rachel is connected to the Motzi Shemra, really are the same type of Aveira. Rabbi Nosson Amar, we learn it from the pasuk of Nishmat Mikol Davarah. So some explain that the word dover is extra in that pasuk, and we say dibora, it's speaking about saying the wrong thing. And I saw here Turach Roinim explain, dovera, when are words considered particularly bad? When not only are they bad in the words that what you're saying is something negative about somebody else, but it's also a lie. Ask the Gemara, Rebbe Elazar Maitama Lo Amar Mahai, why didn't Rebbe Elazar learn from the pasuk of Nishmat Mekol Dovera? Answers the Gemara, Hahumi Bai Leich Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair. He needs that pasuk to teach us another halacha. He needs that pasuk to teach us what Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair taught us. Because Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair says that this pasuk comes to teach us Nishmat Mekol Dovera. Mikan Amar Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair, Ala Yahar Odom B'Yoyim. A person shouldn't have bad thoughts during the day. And by having these bad thoughts, Chas V'Shalom, V'Yovel Adei Tum and Belayla. So Tosfos asks that the pasuk that Yecheskel Novi says, Hini Nafshi Loi Metuma, that Yecheskel says about himself that I was careful not to, it's a Gemara, actually, in Masech Techulin, Daf Lamed Zayin Amabeis, that Yecheskel says, I was careful not to think bad thoughts during the day, and that's why I didn't have any problems by night. But if, as the Gemara says now, asked Tosfos, that this is a law in the Torah that everybody is obligated to follow, what was Yecheskel saying was so special about himself? So he says that the Gemara Masechet Baba Basra says, Shoshe Dvarim Ein Adam Nitzvah B'chol Yoyim. There are three things that people have issue with every day. Hira Avera V'Loshen Haravi in Tefillah. So even though you're not supposed to have these bad thoughts, it's not always easy to control yourself. And Yecheskel said, I had the Siyata D'Shmaya that I was able to control myself. So Rabbi Yoshev asks, we say every day in Krishma, V'loy Sassur Achrei Levavchem. And we learn from that you're not allowed to have bad thoughts. So why do we need both the Pasuk of Nishmat Mikol Davara and also the Pasuk of V'loy Sassur? So he quotes that the pasuk of Elisha Surah is teaching us that a person is not allowed to plan how to do an Avera. Here, the Gemara is not speaking about the individual who's planning to do an Avera. Here, the Gemara is saying, you're not allowed to have bad thoughts, even if it's not your intention to act on those bad thoughts, but just having bad thoughts is also wrong. Rapapama continues the Gemara, Reb Nosson, my time alay Amar Mahai. Why did Reb Nosson learn from the pasuk of Leisach Rachel? Answers the Gemara: Who as Har Bezdin? It's the Torah is teaching the Bezdin Shlei Rach Lazev Kosh Lazev, that everybody has to be treated equally in the eyes of the Bezdin. Why does he explain the pasuk that way? So explains the Pnei Yeshua, because the previous pasuk says, "B'tzedek tishpat es amisecha." So he explains, says Reb Nosson, the pasuk tells us the b'tzedek tishpat amisecha. We have to be careful how we judge someone else, and teaches us the pasuk. How is that accomplished, or how is that avoided by lo yerach lezev kosh lezev? Says the Braisa, lo amal edim. If the mighty Shemra did not tell edim bo v'hiduni, he did not ask them to come say testimony on his behalf. And they on their own come to say this false testimony that this woman did this. And then afterwards they become Muslim. They're Edom to come and say, Imanu Hayisim. He doesn't get Malkus and doesn't have to give the fine of May Slime as we just spoke about. He, Vizamimeo, Magdimim the base of Skila, but she and the Edim are stoned. So ask the Gemara, why both? He was a Memeh Salkadatach, says the Gemara, Eloi, he, or is a Memeh. Either she or the Edim, Magdimim the base of Srefa, are the ones that end up going to the base of Srefa. Says the Rishash, that this is the continuation of the previous Baisa. And what's the Chiddush? So I saw the Achronim explain that what's going to be the case where he didn't hire the Edom, But he did come with this false claim about his wife. And the Edom, hearing that false claim, came and said testimony. So we would think, since he was the one that began with this false claim about his wife, even though he didn't hire the Edom, it should be considered as if he hired them. Teaches us the Brisa, if he did not explicitly hire these Edom, it's not considered as if they came on his behalf. And the Chiddush explains the Tosfos Yeshanim, is that even though he was a Motzi Shemer, as we just explained, he did say something false about his wife. But as long as he didn't hire the Edom, the punishments don't apply. And the Gemara says, we just learned, Ela oihi oizmemea magdimel beisa skila. So the Flo explains, what's the Gemara mean to say? The one is to teach us that if she doesn't have a Pesach beisa via, but the halach is that we don't say that if she doesn't have a father's home where she should be stoned, she's exempt from being stoned. The halach is that she's stoned. If she has a father's home, fine. And if not, stoned by the Beis Din. Tama, says the Gemara, why is he not punished? Because lo amalehu, because he didn't hire these Edom. But clearly teaches us the Gemara, ha amalehu, if he hired them, afagav the lois agrinu, he asked them, but he didn't pay them. The halach is that he does get malchus, and he does have to pay the punishment. Says the Gemara, that's lafuki midrabi Yehuda. This is not consistent with the opinion of Yehuda. The Tanya of Yehuda Omer ain't a chayiv. He's not chayiv at sheyisker edim. It's not chayiv until he has to pay them. But if he didn't pay them, he doesn't have to. If he didn't pay them, Rabbi Yehuda says, even though he asked them to come, he would be potter. Ask the Gemara Matam de Rabbi Yehuda, where does the Rabbi Yehuda take this from? Says the Gemara Amar Rav Avua, Asya Sima, Sima. He learns the Gzeir Shava. Ksiv Hacha, in the Pasha Maitzi Shemra, the Torah uses the words, V'samla Alilis Devarim. And Ksiv Hasam, and it says in the Pasha of Ribis, Loisesimu Olav Neshach, that you're not allowed to take interest. Mala Halam Mamad, the Chiv of Ribis is only with paying extra. Afkan, so too in the Pasha Maitzi Shemra, it's only considered Maitzi Shemra if Mamad, if he paid these false witnesses. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the Kain Tani Rav Yosef Tzidani Rav Shim Ben Yochai, Asya Sima Sima, we learn the Gzair Shava of Sima Sima. So, asks Rabbi Yosef, and what happens if you don't learn the Gzair Shava? Where will you know this halacha from? So Rabbi Yosef says that if you didn't pay them, you should not be held responsible. By Rabbi Yirmiya, Sochem Bekarka, if somebody hired these false Edom, but he didn't pay them with cash, he paid them with karka. What's the halacha? Because the halacha is that ribbis is only considered ribbis if you pay with extra cash, with extra metaltalin, not with karka. Or he promised them the pax mishal pruta. He's going to pay them, but he's going to pay them less than a pruta, which typically mahu. Typically, the halacha is it's not considered mammon. It's not considered mammon as far as Hilchos Ribbis is concerned. Shneim bepruta mahu. If he agreed to pay the two of them together a pruta. As I saw that the Achronim explained that this question is based as a continuation of the previous question. First, the Gemara said that you're going to pay them in total less than a pruta. Then the Gemara says, maybe you are paying entirely to paying a pruta. But if you have two Edom, each one of them is only going to get a half a pruta. And the Gemara's question is, how does the halacha look at it? Do we look at the total expenditure of this husband? And the total expenditure of this husband was a pruta, and therefore he'll be chayiv. Or do we look at how much each aid is going to receive? And since each aid is only going to receive a half a pruta, he's not going to be chayiv. Says the Gemara, another question. If somebody married a woman and then he divorced her and now he married her again, what's going to be the halacha? Is that considered a Motzi Shemra? Or, Nesui Echav, somebody does Yibum with his sister-in-law and the Yavam comes with a claim about his sister-in-law. Says the Gemara, Pshayt Miyachada, one question we have an answer to. The Tanya Reb Yoina, as biti nasati l'shazeh, and we learn from this pasuk l'zeh, specifically this person, v'loy l'yavam. So I saw the Sefik's Brichas Avram asks, why, if we know the halacha by a yavam, that he's not going to be considered Matzi Shemra, shouldn't that be the same on a first marriage? So the Brichas Avram says that in the case of a first marriage, we could say if the fact that he was quiet during the course of the first marriage is a proof that she was a psula. But a yavam wasn't quiet. And therefore, we could say maybe a yavam is different. On the other hand, he explains that how do we look perhaps at the marriage of a yavam? What the Gemara really is asking, how do we look at the marriage of a yavam? Do we look at the marriage of a yavam as a new marriage? And this halacha, Motzi Shemra, is only by a husband, not by Yavam. Or do we look at the marriage of a Yavam as the continuation of the original marriage? Says the Gemara, we learned previously, a machloikus of Elazar ben Yaakov de Chachamim on a Motzi Shemra before, on Daf Mem Hei, on a base, if somebody's Motzi Shemra before he actually did bia with his wife. And the Gemara goes into that machloikus. Ask the Gemara, my Rabbana, my Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, how do we understand Machlokes? Says the Gemara, Tanya, Ketzer Hotzoa Shemra, exactly what is the definition of a Motzi Shemra? Baal Abaldin, the husband comes to Bezdin of Oma, Pliny, he says to the father of this girl, Lemetzosel Abitcha Psulim, Im Yesh Edim Shezin Satachtov, if he could bring Edim, that while she was Muresis to him, she had this adulterous relationship, Yeshla ksuba mana, she gets a ksuba of a mana. Ask the Gemara, this doesn't make any sense. Im yesh edim shezin tzatachtov, if he could prove with edim that while she was mureses, she had this inappropriate relationship, yeshla ksuba mana, she's entitled to ksuba, baskilahi, she's mechuyiv skila, because she's an eshes ish that was mezana. Says the Mar Hachikama, this is what the Braisa means to teach us. Im yesh edim shezin tzatachtov, if there are edim that while they were married, while she was Maressa, she had this relationship, she's chayv skila. Zintzim mikara, but if she had this relationship before she became Maressa, so yesh like subemana, even though he married her with the intention that she's a psula, so she won't get a ksuba of masayim, but she'll get a ksuba mama. Nimtzer sheshemra ain't a shemra, but if it turns out that this is all false, they were mazim to edim, who like of a nice meisela? He gets malchus and has to pay meisela as we began today's shir. Bain ball, bain loy ball. And doesn't make a difference if he did be with his wife or not for this halacha to apply. Says the Gemara of Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, however, l'inamru dvarim halolum, all these halachas only apply elka shabal if he did be first. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the opinion of Elazar ben Yaakov could be understood, because the pasuk says, Hainad Ksiv, Ki yikach ish isho ba'alah, ve'akrav alah, el rabbanan. So the pasuk is clearly indicating that he had to have done a bia in order to have the din of a Motzi Shemra. But according to Rabbanan, that this bia is not required, ask the Gemara, Mayu ba'alah, ve'akrav alah, how would Rabbanan explain these words? Answers the Gemara, Ubala means Balilus, he put out a false rule, he libeled her, Vekrivala, Devarim, and he first put out this false rumor about her that she had this inappropriate relationship, and then he started to talk about it with her. It says, Marvishlam Elazar ben Yaakov, Hanixiv, Lemitzos Lebetcha Psulim, because the Pasuk is saying that he had relationship with her, and while he had the relationship with her, the halacha is he discovered that she's not a psulim, and that's where it all began, according to what he's saying. El Rabbanon, that he didn't even have bia, how could he say lematzos lebetcha psulim? He never had bia to be able to make that claim. Answers the Gemara, what he meant to say was lematzos lebetcha kosher psulim. I did not find edim that should say that your daughter did everything right. I have edim that she did it wrong. Furthermore, asked the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Hayne d'ksiv, the pasuk says, V'lokach avi hanara v'ima, V'tziv b'sulei nara al-ziknei er shara, V'eile b'sulei b'ita, that the father takes the sheet on which this husband and wife had relations, and he shows that she was a psula when they had their relations. El Rabbanon, where they didn't even have relations, asked the Gemara, V'eile b'sulei b'iti, how could the father say V'eile b'sulei b'iti if they never had relations? Answers the Gemara, what he means to say is V'eile koshri b'sulei b'iti. The father brings Edom to say that this is all a libel. My daughter has, I have Edom that she's perfectly fine. Bishlam alar b'lezman Yaakov haniksiv, uparsa simla v'nei zikneir. The father takes the sheet and to show that she's 100% fine. But ask the Gemara, alar banan, what's pshat when the Torah uses the words of farsa simla? Answers the Gemara, amravu uparsa masha somlahem. They try to determine what is the truth. Kretanyu farsa simla. As the pasuk teaches us the Gemara, what does the Torah mean to say? The two pairs of Edom, the Edom that are coming to support the husband's claim, the Edom that are coming to support the father's claim, and what our job is, we try to get to the truth, like a nice, clean, white sheet. We try to get to the truth. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Tvarim Kim Ksovim, but Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov explains the pasuk literally. If there's a sheet with blood, it's clearly supporting the father's claim. If there isn't such a sheet, it supports the husband's claim. Continues the Gemara. Shalach Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yaakov bar Geyuri Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan. Apishle Mitzinu B'chol HaTorah Kula. Even though normally when the Torah speaks about somebody having a relationship that they're not allowed to have, the Torah does not differentiate. Shechilak akosav and bia kadarka la bia shekadarka. Bia is considered bia, and if it's usur, it's usur. Launch lamakis in a situation that there's a chiv malkis, and a chiv in a situation launchim where there's a chiv misa, ava moitzi shemra. But when it comes to the parasha moitzi shemra, he says chilak. There is a difference. Vein a chayiv. The halacha is that you're not chayiv. That for moitzi shemra. Only at Shiyivul Shloi Kedarka, V'yoytzi Shemra Kedarka. Because only in such a case could he say, Le Mitzasi Lebitcha B'sulam. Says the Mar Iker Rabbanon, why is that necessary? According to Rabbanon, you could be a mighty Shemra, Afgav Delay Baal. Iker Rabbelezbe Yaakov, then Kedarka Binan. Rabbelezbe Yaakov requires a Bia to make him into a mighty Shemra. And if there wasn't a real Bia, then he's not a mighty Shemra. Says the Maral Shalch Rav Kana Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan Ein Chayiv At Shiyivul Kedarka. This price is following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and the Aloch is that he had to be have done Bia Kedarka, and after he does the Bia Kedarka, the Yotzi Shemra, that he's Yotzi Shemra, also that Habia that made him into, according to his claim, into Beula, that she was Mizana while she was Arusa, is also a claim that's made while that she did be a Kedarka. Before we get into the next sugya, as we talk about the halacha of a Moitzi Shemra, so we said at the beginning of the shir that one of the requirements that the Torah says regarding the Moitzi Shemra is V'loi Seal Isha. This woman remains his wife. La yuchel shachah kol yomav. Says the Rambam that this halacha applies to a kohen as well as to Yisrael. The only difference, says the Rambam, between a Yisrael and a kohen is that a Yisrael who divorces his wife after he was moitzi shemra is obligated to remarry her, whereas a kohen may not remarry her because we know a kohen may not marry a grusha. So Rabbi Yaakov asks a question. He says that we learned early in the Masechta on Daf Tesom and Aleph that Rabbi Elazar taught us that if a kohen claims that his bride lacked psulim, so that means she was mezana, the halach is he can't stay with her because she becomes a saita. And the halach we learned there was that even if he can't bring edim to support his claim, he can't live with her because Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Desura. And we've spoke about that concept quite extensively, that Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Desura means that if somebody says something is usur upon him, even though he doesn't have proper halachic proof to that claim, she's usur to him. So ask the Beis Yaakov that in our Gemara, if the Kohen says about his wife that she was a Nara Marasa, so she's a Saita, that was Mazana, she's a Saita. And even though he can't substantiate the claim, as far as he's concerned, that is the case. And why shouldn't this be a case of Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Desura, that we know a Kohen is not allowed to live with a woman that was Mazana? Answers the Beis Yaakov. He says that we learned earlier the why is there no halacha of v'loy si'eli isha when someone was ma'anis a mamzeris. So the Gemara on Daf Mem Amud Aleph answered that even though there should be an argument that the essay of v'loy si'eli isha should be doicha the lois essay of a mamzeris, the Gemara, as the Tosfos Yeshanim at least explains the Gemara, says the Gemara that yes, the ma'anis has a mitzvah v'loy si'eli isha, but the anusa doesn't have that mitzvah. Says the Beis Yaakov that in a case like our Gemara, where he is being Moitzi Shemra on his wife, and she says she's innocent, so she has no reason not to marry her. So since she marry him, so it only so as far as the woman is concerned, she is allowed to be married to him. She's not a Saita, and even if it's a Kohen, she's allowed to be married to him. Who is the one that has an issue here? The Kohen, the husband. But now, as far as he's concerned, on one hand, there's the mitzvah of Eloi Seel Isha. On the other hand, in his mind, she's a Saita. Here, we could easily apply the concept of Esa Deichelois Esei. Our Gemara spoke about hiring Edom. And our Gemara said, actually, that one is not considered a Moitzi Shemra only if he hired the Edom. And this opens up an interesting question. If somebody needs Edom, he's making a wedding, and he's hiring, and he wants to have very special people to be Edom, and he's willing to pay them. The question is, are Edom who are being paid to say Edus, are they considered valid Edus? So Ritva says that certainly the Edus is kosher Edom. Even if you'll say that Edom are not supposed to get paid to witness something, it doesn't mean, says the Ramban, that they shouldn't be considered valid Edom. And therefore, the halacha is that they're considered valid Edom and the Edus is good. But moreover, I saw that the Chashuki Chemet says, when the Edom are being paid, they're not being paid for the saying Edus. They're being paid for the tircha that they had to come to the wedding. They're being paid for the schar b'teila that they could have been doing something else for Edus, as Edom. So therefore, they could be considered kosher even if they're being paid to come say Edus. Moreover, I saw that the Chiddush Arim suggests that if both parties to a case, or as in Al Gemara was speaking about, both parties, the Chassan and Kala, at the wedding, are agreeable that we could ask these Edom to say Edus on our behalf, to be Edom on our behalf, and both parties recognize that these Edom are getting paid for that purpose, then everybody would agree the fact that they're getting paid is not an issue. Says the Mishnah, Av Zake Bebita, a father has the rights over his daughter who's a ketana, b'kedusha, to be mekabel kesef. He can mekabel the kedusha kesef. And actually, Rashi points out that when the halacha that we're learning in our Mishnah is applies both to a daughter who is a ketana or a nara. And the Pnei Yeshua says that the reason our Mishnah doesn't say that, all our Mishnah says the word is bitoy, because our Mishnah goes back to the previous Mishnayis and says a begeris is different than a ketana and a nara. So obviously, ketana and nara are treated the same way. So he gets the kes of kedushin if that was the form of the form of kedushin. And as the Chasam Sofer explains, what the Mishnah is actually teaching us is two halachas. One halacha the Mishnah is teaching us is that the father has a right to choose whom she marries. And when she gets married, the Kesef Kedushin goes to the father. Bishtar, if the Kedushin is done through a shtar, he gets the shtar. And here too, there are a number of pshatim. What does the shtar mean? Some say that there could be money attached to the shtar. What other pshat is that he gets the actual piece of paper. Rabia, the father has a right to give his daughter to a man who will be Mekadosh Rabia. And as the Yerushalmi explains, he could take payment saying, you want to marry my daughter, you'll have to pay for it, and this is the payment, and then you can be Mekadosh Rabia. Zakim Mitziosa, if she finds something, the halach is, she has to turn it over to him. But Masiya Deho, if she earns money, it goes to him. But Faras Nadarel, if she makes a nether, obviously we're talking about a Nara who can make a nether. The father has a right to be made for the nether. Keep Mekabalas Gita, if the husband wants to divorce his wife after she became an Arusa, because as we often say in Ashurim, a girl who's an Arusa, a woman who's an Arusa, the halacha is that the kesa, that the she's considered an Eishes Ish, and if this couple wants to separate, the get has to be written. The get is given to the father. The reason why the father has a right to be made for the Dorim explains the Drisha, because call any girl in this stage of her life, call an Ederes Adas Avia her. Nederes, she makes the nether on behalf of her family. Continues the Gemara, continues the Mishnah. Ve'ena echel peres b'chayel. The halacha is that if she gets assets, that means she inherited her mother, those assets, if they make peres, if it's a property that is collecting rent, if it's a field that is giving fruit, he doesn't get a right to eat them. Nisus, when the girl gets married, so she now becomes a nesua to her husband. Yes, I love a bow. The husband has a right, which is more than the father's right, and that is that oichel peres b'chayah, he does get to eat the peres even while they're married. The chayiv, a husband is obligated by mezunaseha to support his wife, to give her food, and b'perkuna, if she gets kidnapped, he has to ransom her and kfurasa. And he has to bury her. The halach is that is part of the obligation of a husband. The obligation of a husband includes b'kfurasa that he buries her. I saw the question that the Paiskim discuss when it says b'kfurasa, does it have to be according to the status of her family? Let's say her family, she comes from a very distinguished family, and the Makom Kfura, the burial spot, is in a very expensive cemetery. And the halacha is, what is the halacha? Does the husband have an obligation to pay that type of style of Kfura? Or the halacha is that as all he has to do is bury her? And therefore, I saw that the Sefer Chishukei Chemed says that the halach quotes his father, Rabbi Yashiv, that all he has an obligation is covetig berena. He has an obligation to make sure she's buried. He's not obligated to make sure that she's buried in the most expensive makom kfura. Rabbi Yudaima, I feel an ani b'Yisrael, but even the poorest person in Klal Yisrael, says Rabbi Yehuda, when he buried her, the halacha is lo yifchas mishneim mekayla mekayinus. They used to have people who played the flute at the levaya. They had people women who would cry at the levaya that they hired, and that's the minimum that has to be paid. Bekesef. So we learned in the Mishnah that the father is entitled to the kesef kedushin. Ask the Gemara Manolam. Says the Gemara Amr Yehuda Makra. The pasuk says, "With a Amah Havriya who goes out from the authority of her owner when she becomes a Nara." The pasuk says, "V'yotzav chinam en kesef." She doesn't have to pay for that freedom. And we learn from this pasuk, "En kesef adam zeh." In this case, the owner doesn't have a financial entitlement. However, "V'yesh kesef adam acher." There is somebody else that is entitled to kesef. Umanu, who is that father? Who is that Havia? And what we're learning from here is that to a certain degree, she is considered the property of a father. But ask the Gemara, why are we saying that she doesn't get that the money goes to her? Answers the Gemara, Hashta doesn't make any sense. If Avia Makabel Kedushah, if we clearly see that the Torah gave the father the right to marry her to whom he wants, as the Pasuk says, as Biti Nosati Leshazah, so we see that the father has a right to make that decision. If the Torah says that he can marry her to whom he wants, he obviously is in total control and he'll get the kesef as well. Ema, but ask the Gemara, Hani Miliktana, when is the halacha that the kesef kedushin goes to the father? Is when the girl is a ketana. Because the girl who's a ketana, less la yad, doesn't have an independent ability to make financially, halachically acceptable financial transaction. Ava nara, once the girl is a nara, is la yad, so she does have that halachic ability to make financial transaction. Maybe the halacha ought to be, e atag the snafsha, vi tishko kaspa, she should be able to make the kedushin and keep the gemara, and keep the money. Answers the gemara, I'm a krab in the rabbi Savia. We learn from here, kol shvach naruna now. Anything that she earns as a nara goes to her father. Ask the gemara, Eloha damar avuna marav. He teaches us, Mnai shemasa bai slavia. How do we know that any earnings she make go to her father? Because the pasuk says, v'chiyimke ishas bita l'ama. Ma oma masi del rabba, just like a maid, everything she earns goes to her owner. Apas masi del avia. But ask the Gemara, Lomali, why do we need that limud? Why don't we just learn it typically, Menura beis avia, from this pasuk? Says the Gemara, who the pasuk of Menura beis avia is coming to teach us, Baforis the Darmudiksiv, to teach us that the father is allowed to be mefer the Nadarim of his daughter, and has nothing to do with Shvach Ne'urim. Ask the Gemara, but once we know that the father has the control, that he could be the one to be made from the Dorim, shouldn't that be a source to teach us that he also keeps all financial interest in her? Answers the Gemara, Memanim Yisroel LaYopinan. But ask the Gemara, as we've learned in our Shiurim, V'chitayim Ne'elef B'knosa, we've learned in all of our Shiurim that he gets the Knas. So shouldn't that be a proof that he gets all financial? Answers the Gemara, Memoina Meknasa Loyopinan. We don't learn Hilchas Momin from Hilchas Knas. Ask the Gemara, V'chitema Neilef Meboshes Begam. Why don't we learn from the Alocha Boshes Begam that we know the Alocha is that the Boshes Begam goes to the father when she's entitled to it? Answers the Gemara, Shani Boshes Begam. Boshes Begam is different because Boishas Begam affects the father as well. Because when she's embarrassed, the father is embarrassed as well. And she goes down in value when these things happen. So these are things that affect the father, and therefore we can't learn from Boishas Begam. Ella says the Gemara that when the Torah said, Mistabra, so now that we learned all these answers, the Gemara says we learn from the pasuk v'yotzeh chinam ein kesef. That's the pasuk that teaches us that when a girl goes free from having to work for her owner, ein kesef, but when her father marries her off, when she does get kesef. Says the Gemara al mistabra. Says the Gemara, but we asked maybe the money, if she's a nara, should go to her herself, not to the father. Answers the Gemara, Mistabra dechimimat rachmana yitzia kavase koimat. It makes sense to say that just like the Omer is talking about a woman who became a Nara, that's why she's going out free. Here too, the Kesef Kedushin is talking about a Nara. Says the Gemara, a different question. The halacha is that when she's freed, she's no longer at all under the authority of her owner. Yitzia the Av, but when she leaves, when she becomes a mereses, asks the Gemara, a kati, like we keep on repeating, Erisin is only the first step. But after the Erisin, there's Nesuin. So how do we compare these two Yitzias? The Yitzia from the owner is a complete Yitzia. The Yitzia of Erisin is not a complete Yitzia, says the Gemara. In certain sense, she does go out of his Rishus. Because the halacha is that as long as the girl is a muresis, the halacha is that the tiller girl's muresis, the halacha is the kedush, the hafaras nadarim is done only by the father. When she becomes a muresis, he doesn't have that sole authority. What happens is at this point, the Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us nara muresa avi abalam afirim the derab. We also learned in our Mishnah, Bishtar Ubiya, that the father has a right on the Shtar Ubiya of his daughter's Kedushin, when she's a Ketana or a Nara. Ask the Gemara Manolon, from where do we notice Halacha? Answers the Gemara Amakra Vahaisalish Acher. The Torah says the word Vahaisa, Ishkus Havais Ladadi. All types of ways that she gets married are all the same, and by all of them, it belongs to the father.